Transforming Bodies, a judgment-free zone where Trish answers all your burning questions about aesthetics procedures. Find out what and who is the latest and greatest, and gain clarity on what options are out there to leave you feeling good in your body.
Hello, listeners. It's Trish Hammond here from the Transforming Bodies podcast. And today I'm joined with Dr. Vanya Sinovich. Now, Dr. Sinovich is actually based in Auckland, and she runs the skincare company, which is a new clinic that's just opened up in the last 12 months. And today we're going to have a bit of a chat with her about what her inspiration is behind it. And Dr. Sinovich is a dermatologist, so it's a totally different field to... Sorry, we're just going to share with you all the extra things that you're probably not going to know about. So welcome, Dr. Sinovich.
Hi, thank you for having me along.
Thank you so much for joining us. So tell me, first of all, what made you get into dermatology?
I think I was always interested in skin from a very young age, the skin being the largest organ of the body and the interface between the external environment. I feel that good skin quality promotes a feeling of health, and that is what, you know, is behind a lot of my practice.
That's true, and I guess one of the other bonuses as well is, I think being a dermatologist, your skin's always going to look good because you naturally love the skin, and that's probably what got you into it in the first place.
Well, as a teenager growing up in South Africa, I did have a lot of sun, and sadly the sun is your biggest enemy. Someone once said to me, there's no such thing as a good tan, and realistically 80 to 90% of our aging is related to the ultraviolet light, which, even though it makes us feel good and look good, in the long term is what you're fighting for and what you're going to spend most of your money from. So my biggest message to the young is listen to your parents, even though you think they know nothing. But suntanning, particularly on our exposed sites, is just a recipe for disaster when you get into your 40s and 50s, when you express that damage. So using a daily sunscreen from a very early on, one that you like, is going to save you firstly from the skin cancers we're going to be chopping out on your faces, as well as the signs of aging, which you are not going to like as you age.
That's so true. You know, it's like, out of everything, someone once said to me, the best anti-aging advice they could give me was to actually wear sunscreen on your face anyway, because I don't like it on my body, but on your face. And I think that's 100%, hey.
And I think nowadays the formulations are so much better. Ideally, you're going, as a woman, I think it's quite good to have a tinted sunscreen, because the iron oxides in the tinted sunscreens are really helping you with the visible light and the infrared light. So the visible light is the light you see, and the infrared light is the light that makes you feel warm. And even though these are low energy lights, they're quite deeply penetrating. And we know for a fact that Australian, New Zealand women age 10 to 20 years faster than our American counterparts, and that's probably because we live near coastal environments, and our skin is daily exposure and ravaged by the ultraviolet light. Another good thing to remember is that your SPF, choose a high SPF, because your SPF typically greater than 50 is going to protect you against the basal cell cancers, which are the commonest skin cancers that we end up cutting out on most people's faces, probably from about the age of 40, and sometimes even younger if you have an outdoor exposure like a landscaper or builder or farmer. And then when you choose your SPF sunscreen, look for one that says broad spectrum as well. Generally, most UVA is the ray that is aging us, so that's the deeper ray, not necessarily causing those acute burns that we get with the UVB rays, but the UVA is what ages us too. So if you choose a broad spectrum sunscreen, you're going to be protecting your skin against those which are damaging your collagen, which are in the dermal layer of our skin. The different countries have different regulations, but do some work and ask your dermatologist about particular sunscreens, because there's certain sunscreens that repeatedly fail the guidelines, and they are being standardized more, which is important, but it is something that general awareness needs to be increased.
And that makes so much sense. I didn't know about the UVA, so now I know aging is the UVA. Correct. Good way to remember it.
And the UVB is the red, the one that gives you those red sunburns, and those are typically going to give you the common skin cancers, which are your basal cell cancers. But just remember those infrared rays, so that's the tinted aspect of the sunscreen that's going to help those. Another good thing for tinted sunscreens, they're particularly good for darker skin types and those prone to pigmentation. So people with melasma or a lot of photo-aging skin expressions on their face, go for a tinted one. And there are a whole range now that are way more cosmetically elegant than were evident in that were present in the past.
Yeah, I think it's really important to spend good money on good sunscreen and good skincare for sure. So tell me, so with the skin company, so what inspired you to actually start this business, and what's your ethos behind it?
So my ethos is really to provide a sort of bespoke dermatology service for my clients, many of whom are aging just as I am, and getting the message across and investing in the knowledge, because what is present now was not evident when I trained, and I won't tell my age many years ago. So things evolve, and so I'm constantly spending time investing into what's new, what's good in terms of skincare, in terms of energy-based devices, because there are a lot of non-dermatologists who have entered the arena of cosmetic dermatology, and I'm not saying that you can only be a dermatologist to treat the skin, but sadly I think there are a wide range of expertise within that, and as a consumer it's actually hard to know, and patients often come to me saying, oh, I had this laser there, and I'd say, oh, what laser was that, and they have no knowledge. So people don't ask enough questions. When you're going and having something done, inquire about what is the filler, what is the laser, is it appropriate for my skin type, because often the knowledge of the person giving you that particular procedure or device may not be what you think it is. So this is all about providing high-end proven therapies that are up to date for people, including skincare, including energy devices, including prejuvenation therapies, which is a big trend at the moment. It's just it's more tailored to the patient rather than a terrible term called cookie cutter, which has crept into the market over the years, where you come in and you basically follow the recipe of the clinic. And at the end of the day, if all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And so that clinic will push that device. And, some people are not as honest in saying, look, Trish, I don't have the right laser for you, but I will send you to someone who has the appropriate laser for your skin type. So ask questions. And if they're evasive, they're probably evasive for a reason. So and we do, sadly, as dermatologists, have to mop up a lot of damage done by patients in clinics where they are either overfilled, or lasers have caused burns, or inappropriate lasers have been used on skin type. So I think even though patients are more knowledgeable than they were of old, I still think not enough questions are being answered, and not enough investigations are being done before some quite aggressive treatments are being done.
Actually, I agree, because we've kind of put it in the same category as having some waxing done or something like that, whereas, you know, a laser treatment is it's a serious treatment, and if you're going to get something done, you want to make sure you're getting the right one, you want to make sure the right device is being used for you, and you want to make sure that it's going to be the best treatment possible for you. So 100% agree with that. And I guess it's a testament to the fact of what you want to bring back to the skin company, because you are here in Melbourne for the Australian Society of Cosmetic Dermatology Conference, which of course is here to show you all the latest and greatest and show you the great devices and whatnot. So while you've been here, have you, you know, is there anything that's changed your, or anything that you didn't sort of think that you would perhaps do in the clinic, which you are going to adopt now that you've been here for the conference for a couple of days yet? Or I know it's not over yet, but
I think there's definitely more trend towards prejuvenation, and so using biostimulators to improve skin care, skin quality, more emphasis on skin quality, probably a little trend towards moving away from fillers and the overfilled face, or having more filler that is more natural looking, because unfortunately people have filler layered upon other fillers, and I feel that more attention to good skincare, and there's a wide range of them, and as well as skincare with the technologies that weren't available 10 mm-hmm. years ago. Mm-hmm. So I think one has to, at any age, keep learning, because trends and availability of equipment as well as product changes.
That's so true, and I love the fact that you're committed to that continuous learning, because a lot of people think, oh, well, I've trained whatever 20, 30 years ago and I know it, or I don't need to learn anything else. But you're absolutely right. You do need to keep up with the latest and greatest, because there are new innovation that just happens all the time.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I don't think cosmetic dermatology even existed when I did my training, 30 odd years ago. So it is an evolving, everything in medicine is evolving, and there's, the use of AI, the use of robots, and kind of biologics in even medical dermatology. So one has to stay up to date. In fact, one of my favorite apps on my my programming systems at home is the UpToDate system, in addition to reading. So you're using the knowledge of experts from around the world who allowing concise overviews of trials, because there's so many trials all over the world regarding different aspects. So as a dermatologist, in addition to the cosmetic, you've got the medical, you've got the surgical, and there's a lot to keep up to up to date with. So education of yourself and your staff, I very much believe in the whole team being educated.
That's so true. It's such an investment in the business, but investment in your people is, of course, going to be a benefit to the patients. But what I was going to ask you, so I'm a great believer that, exactly what you said, people don't know what they've got in their face, what people have put in them, whatever, but I'm presuming that the perfect ideal, well, in a perfect world, I think the perfect thing to do as a patient is to find yourself a practitioner and actually align yourself with that practitioner and give them, like, let them know what your goals are and work together to achieve your goals. But that way, a year later or 6 months later, you go back to the same person rather than go shopping for, the cheapest bargain somewhere for whatever. Whereas if you actually align yourself with someone who has quality equipment, uses quality procedures, goes to the regular conferences and is committed to continuous learning, you as a patient, you're going to get a better outcome. Because I've seen photos here during this conference of people that have been going to the same dermatologist, like, and they might go one, two or three times a year, or even just once a year, and after 10 years they look better than when they first started.
Yes, and we've invested in technologies regarding that, where certain sort of broadband light therapies done in a corrective fashion, and so that would typically be three treatments a month apart, where we correct all of the damage you've done over the 10 to 30 years of your adult life, because probably by the time you 20, 80% of your sun damage has already occurred on your face and exposed sites. And so sometimes you come to us and it's, you know, it's 35, 40, you're just needing a bit of a top up. You do have to do those corrective treatments, and, you know, sadly they are going to cost you a little bit more to begin with. And so typically you would have the three a month apart, and it's correcting the reds and correcting the browns, because your kind of color dyschromias on your face are very aging. And then once you've corrected that, you then come for annual treatments, and they're quicker and not as expensive. And the benefit of that is that you're looking at studies which have been done by a plastic surgeon in the States who's been using these technologies on his patients for the last three decades, is they've shown that the collagen from when people start these treatments are better, are maintained, if not better, for the age at which they started. So it is a little bit cheesy, but it's called Forever Young. And so it does help the heating process of the broadband light, in addition to helping with the dyschromia, is actually helping the quality of the collagen. So instead of looking like a shredded spaghetti, which is essentially what your collagen and elastin look like, you're getting healthier looking collagen for that decade, despite it being 2 to 3 decades down the track. Mm-hmm. So maintenance, corrective and maintenance treatments make a big difference. And also, I think, you know, to be honest, making sure wherever you go is that if you're using fillers for volume replacement, make sure you're using fillers that are appropriate for the area they're injected in, as well as are not going to be associated with nodules and, you know, visibility if they're injected too superficially using the wrong filler. So you may be able to get, you know, cheap filler somewhere, but that may come at a cost of the product type, because, again, there are a whole range of fillers out there. So, you know, if you're with someone, keep a list almost of what you've got, because we don't really like layering things on top of things we don't know. So I think make sure that before you're having any procedures, that someone's taken an appropriate medical history, because there are some contraindications. You want to be more cautious with people like who have autoimmune diseases, who are immunocompromised, who, you know, a knowledge of that is important. And sometimes, you know, having been in this industry for a while now, you go to certain training areas where it's maybe non-dermatologists, and just the knowledge beneath the surface is not as great as you would want for someone who is doing that particular procedure. And often the training may be 3 days to 3 weeks before they, you know, sort of doing, whereas your average dermatologist has trained almost 15 years to get there. And you know, there is ongoing what's called medical education, typically within each area of up to 80 hours a year, which is quite a lot of training. And that's only the medical side, that's not the cosmetic side. So that ongoing training is important. And at the end of the day, I think the one thing with chain clinics is, you know, profit is often is the driving factor, whereas I'd hope that for me, it's the patient is the driving factor.
Yes, I can totally agree with that. The bespoke clinic is definitely what I'd be searching for. And, you know, exactly what you said, like you know how you said the patient should be writing stuff down. I'm even more along the lines, just find yourself, you know, the proper place you want to go to that does all the right things, and then you don't even have to worry about recording anything because they're going to know exactly what you've had done.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, they should be writing notes and they should be copying you into that, so that should you go elsewhere, you've got a record, you know, so and so all those should be. And if you go to a different provider and, you know, such a technique has worked for you, be it with neurotoxins, and you can say, oh, this has worked well for me, you know, like, it means it's repeatable for somebody else who has never met you before.
Exactly. And just going back to what you said before, so basically you can't have an issue with your skin and then go somewhere and for it to magically fix up. So with the treatment protocol you're talking about before, so you have to fix the actual problem first. So that's like three treatments, 1 month apart, and that will set you like a base level, and then to just kind of maintain that once a year or whatever it is you have to go down to for maintenance. So you can't just fix something like melasma and never have it again. And I know this because I had it really badly. And I had everything for mine. I took she put creams and all that, but until I actually had the BBL laser, nothing actually fixed it. So I spent a fortune as well. So I think you can fall into that trap as well. But it's really important to have that maintenance level. So when you find someone that you like, you need to stick with them, because it is, you know, looking after your skin is a lifetime maintenance plan.
Absolutely. And I think melasma is notoriously difficult to treat, and it's often a single treatment is not going to fix the problem. I mean, the other thing that I find upsetting at times is people with, you know, sort of acne or melasma, and there's so much misinformation out there from typically influencers who, you know, have their own agendas, and, you know, you have the 20-step acne plan, and these, you know, young girls who come in with moderate to severe acne with scarring has spent hundreds and thousands, and they've never seen a dermatologist or even discussed it with their GP. And, you know, we get sometimes what's called, you know, the Mecca face. And look, I like Mecca. I think it has got good products. But at the end of the day, you know, they're just, as far as there's certain products that you don't need, but you get sold, and people come through to you with packets of products at great cost. And so a knowledge of what that skin type or that skin problem is will help you essentially give them prescriptive skin care. And that's not necessarily a prescription, but we know that things like topical vitamin Bs are good for oil and seborrhea and acne-prone skin, and is not going to irritate rosacea. We know that C can be very irritating for rosacea, so that's generally something to find, you know, a less irritating version or avoid until you've maintained, you know, skin barrier. We've had lots of talks during this conference as well, and in the lead up to this conference about the importance of the skin biome. So just like, you know, the gastroenterologists have focused on the gut microbiome for many years, and how our gut microbiome can be even determine our proneness to depression, or you know, so it's very important what we put on our skin. And so, you know, I'm very kind of invested in helping people with their topical skin journey, because, you know, the cleansers that are traditionally used are often way too stripping, and when you're stripping things, you're stripping the good bacteria as well as the bad bacteria. And so I think down the track we will see a lot of change in this arena, whereby we are kind of addressing the use of products that helps with the skin biome. And, you know, once you've corrected the skin biome, then you can get onto actives that are more appropriate for your skin type, because, you know, not everyone can tolerate an A, which we know is very good for our skin as far as collagen, as far as pigment and pores. But until your barrier is hydrated, you cannot go for an A, because you're just going to get an irritated skin, which is probably going to do more harm than good. So, you know, it is important to, again, you know, just like with baby food, sort of go back to the basics sometimes when you are, when you have inflamed, irritated, or rosacea-prone skin, you know, stick to the things that irritate you the least. So if you're really struggling with irritated, acne-prone skin, or rosacea-prone skin, choose a gentle cleanser, not a harsh stripping cleanser. Choose a light moisturizer, typically with a mild niacinamide within it, and then go for a physical sunscreen. So physical sunscreens would typically be things like zinc and titanium, which are going to be more calming for the skin rather than the chemical sunscreens in some variants. And if you want to choose an active, and when I talk about an active, I'm talking about vitamin A, B, C, or some of the other actives that are available in on the market, probably go for a B, because that's going to irritate you the least. Once you're on that regime, yes, then you can add other things slowly. But if you product hop too much and add too much, just like with baby food, you're not going to know what's irritating. So, you know, keeping it simple and again, if it's not a dermatologist, there are a lot of very well-educated dermal therapists out mm-hmm. there, but who can provide you with that same advice as to kind of that stepwise, you know, stepwise approach.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And so tell me, so where can we find you? I know you're in Auckland, but how can anyone who's listening to this, how can we find you?
So I'm based in Rimuera in Auckland, and my company is called The Skin Company, and we can be found online at The Skin Company, otherwise the address is 80A Bassett Road, Rimuera in Auckland. We are on Instagram. We definitely, now that the clinic is up and running, going to increase the sort of marketing component, but it's just about little steps because we have been very busy. In fact, I've just been studying last year as well as opening the clinic, so it's just about pacing mm-hmm. yourself and mm-hmm. Trying to keep life balanced, because I have got three children, although sometimes I think they forget I'm their mother at this stage. But it's just, yeah, it's just about, you know, little steps. Yeah. But, yeah, we're based in Auckland and, you know, slowly adding in some extra laser machines to help with resurfacing, which will be the next phase of the journey.
Amazing. Okay, I've got to be honest, resurfacing is my favourite treatment. Well, I want to say congratulations on having your fourth child called The Skin Company.
Thank you.
I look forward to watching it grow.
Yeah, thank you.
And look, listeners, look, if you do want to find out any more, check her out online, The Skin Company in Auckland, New Zealand. Otherwise, you can flick me through a DM and I'm happy to send through all the information to you. And, yeah, definitely align yourself with the right practitioner is my advice always. So thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Sinovich.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Got a burning question for Trish? Message her on Instagram at Transforming Bodies, or join the 12,000 plus people in the Facebook group Plastic Surgery Support Forum for Aussie Chicks.